A terrible disservice to the American people. That's how US President Joe Biden has described a landmark Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity, which is being viewed as a major victory for Donald Trump. The justices found that a president has immunity for official acts, but not for unofficial ones. A decision that will further delay the criminal case against Mr. Trump for allegedly trying to subvert the 2020 election result. Donald Trump described the decision as a big win. And speaking overnight, Joe Biden said it set a dangerous precedent.
This nation was founded on the principle that there are no kings in America. Each of us is equal before the law. No one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. With today's Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity, that fundamentally changed, because the power of the office will no longer be constrained by the law, even including the Supreme Court of the United States. The only limits will be self-imposed by the President alone. Nearly 4 years ago, my predecessor sent a violent mob to the U.S. Capitol to stop the peaceful transfer of power. We all saw it with our own eyes. We sat there and watched it happen that day. The public has a right to know the answer about what happened on January 6th before they asked to vote again this year. Now, because of today's decision, that is highly, highly unlikely. It's a terrible disservice to the people of this nation.
Well, that was US President Joe Biden reacting to that landmark Supreme Court ruling. Well, shortly before we came on air, I spoke to David Weinstein. He's a former US federal prosecutor and currently a partner at Jones Walker in Miami. And I began by asking him for his take on the ruling.
Well, it's certainly an extraordinary ruling, but not one that comes as unexpected. I don't think anyone here expected them to give absolute immunity to a former president for criminal acts that he or she committed while they were in office. And this was the road we thought they were going to go down, sort of a middle ground where they would send it back for the lower court to make a decision as to whether or not the conduct was something that was an official act. But what really surprised many of us is the confines that they've put on the special prosecutor now in proving that these were not official acts, and it's really made his job more difficult, and in some ways did actually impart what is almost absolute immunity on a president.
Well, Donald Trump has described this ruling as a big win. Talk us through what this means in legal terms for the former president and his criminal cases.
Well, certainly it is a big win for him, because after this ruling, it is going to be many weeks, if not months, before any of the remaining cases get into a position where he's liable to have to go to trial. And for him, that's what he's always been looking for, because his path was to push off all of these cases until after the election, hope that he wins the election, and then as far as the two federal cases go, convince his now executive positions that they should dismiss the cases against him. So even if the cases don't end by dismissal, he's obtained the result he wants, which is to put off the two federal cases and the third case in Atlanta until after the election. So to that extent, it's a win for him.
Let's come on then to those official and the unofficial acts. How will they be defined?
The court gave a small slimmer of defining the acts. One of the examples it gave was conversations that he had with his attorneys general, and they said that those were official acts, so that he couldn't be prosecuted for those. They gave an example in the middle of conversations he had with his then vice president and said that those might be official acts, but they'd have to look more at the facts that led up to them, how he was conducting those conversations, what the purpose was of those conversations. And those are some of the acts that they asked the court to look at. The final category of acts that they said were, in all likelihood, not official acts, were conversations and activities that he engaged in with either private parties who were part of his campaign and his campaign group at the time, or with state officials who were not part of the federal government. So they gave a general area of different acts that could or could not be official acts.
And we know the justices voted 6-3 along ideological lines. And we heard some particularly strong comments from the Liberal Justice, Sonia Sotomayor. What does she have to say?
What she said, in essence, was that the majority was completely off base in what they did, that they had their answer, and that was to give immunity to the former president. And then they focused their facts and the law and their opinion around that to sort of force it into a place that it didn't need to be. And in her opinion, expanded this immunity far beyond anything that the founding fathers could have even thought about when they were framing our country. And in effect, destroyed the separation of powers. In her words, she said they took away the power of the legislative branch. They could no longer formulate laws that could be used against the executive branch because they have now given the executive branch this almost complete immunity. In her words, a destruction of our democracy.
And of course, all eyes on the implications of this ruling for former President Donald Trump. But as you say there, this has a bearing on the actions of future presidents and indeed democracy in the US.
It does, because now the only guidepost for our chief executive, the highest office in our land, is their own moral compass. They come into office with this presumption that any act that they deem to be an official act is immune from prosecution, and that they could commit seemingly any crime and be found by a court to be immune from it. So the only thing governing their abilities and what they do in their office is their own moral compass. And if the person who comes in has no moral compass, then there is nothing that is going to be able to convince them that what they're doing is something that's wrong.
Well, on that, we know American history is often written in terms of these Supreme Court rulings. Is this one, in your opinion, that will feature in the history books?
Oh, absolutely. Front and center. It certainly will feature in what could have been a trial of a former president. It remains to be seen whether any of these cases will go forward. It'll feature in our history books because it showed this sharp divide amongst the ideological beliefs of the 9 individuals who were serving as our justices, and that they formulated their opinion to fit what they believed was what their ideology thought should be the result here.
And that was former US federal prosecutor David Weinstein speaking to me a little earlier.